Hebrews chapter 9. And I read to you from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 28. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For whenever every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year, with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Now we have been observing that the central theme of this book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is the superior high priest, and nothing can minimize that superiority. In Hebrews chapter 7, the writer argued that Christ's priesthood, like that of Melchizedek, is superior in its order to the Aaronic priesthood. Then in Hebrews chapter 8, the emphasis is on the fact that Jesus Christ ministers on the basis of a better covenant. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see Jesus Christ ministers in a better sanctuary. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we see that Jesus Christ ministers because of a better sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, ministers in a better sanctuary. That is the theme of Hebrews chapter 9. And that is our text for study this morning. In Hebrews chapter 9, the writer gives us a detailed contrast between the old covenant sanctuary, which is the tabernacle, and the new covenant heavenly sanctuary where Jesus Christ now ministers. And this contrast makes it clear that the new covenant sanctuary is far superior. In Hebrews chapter 9 verses 1 to 10, we see the inferior old covenant sanctuary. And in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 11 to 28, we see the superior heavenly sanctuary. Now in our study last time, we looked at verses 1 to 10, the inferior old covenant sanctuary. And now we will look into Hebrews 9 verses 11 to 28, where we see the superior heavenly sanctuary. The five insufficiencies of the old covenant sanctuary, which we saw last time, are now matched with the five superiorities of the new covenant sanctuary in verses 11 to 28. So in every way, the present sanctuary is far superior. That is what the writer is proving to us. Number one, he says the new covenant sanctuary is heavenly. The new covenant sanctuary is heavenly. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. The writer has emphasized that, he has emphasized the fact before, because he wants his readers to focus their attention on the things of heaven. So he has mentioned this fact before. He wants us to focus on things of heaven, not on the things of the earth. Some things on earth, including this beautiful Jewish temple, would soon be destroyed. But the heavenly realities would endure forever. The old covenant tabernacle was made by the hands of men. And we see that in Exodus chapter 35 verses 30 to 35. But the new covenant sanctuary was not made with hands. That's why he says, not of this creation. In the ESV it says, not of this creation. In the King James Version it says, not of this building. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11. It actually means not of this creation. The tabernacle of Moses was made with the materials that belonged to this creation. But the heavenly tabernacle needed no such materials. Hebrews 9 verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Now, since the heavenly tabernacle does not belong to this creation, it is free from the after effects of time. The good things to come have already arrived. All that was foreshadowed as type in the old tabernacle was now reality because of Christ's priestly ministry in heaven. The earthly tabernacle was patterned after the sanctuary in heaven. But today we no longer need that copy because we have the eternal reality and we have access to the heavenly tabernacle. Number two, the ministry in the heavenly tabernacle is effective to deal with sin. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 12 to 15. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 12 to 15. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. We have a series of contrasts that show again the superiority of the heavenly ministry. Number one, there is the contrast between animal sacrifices and the sacrifice of Christ. In Hebrews 9 verse 12, we read, Hebrews 9 verse 12, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Now the writer will discuss the inferiority of animal sacrifices in Hebrews chapter 10. But here he begins to lay the foundation. We need no proof that the blood of Jesus Christ is far superior to that of animal sacrifices. How can the blood of animals ever solve the problem of the sins of human beings? Jesus Christ became a man that he might be able to die for us, shed his blood for us human beings. And his death was voluntary. Last night I was reading Isaiah 53. My wife and I, we read Isaiah 53 every night, also Psalm 91 in our family prayers. In Isaiah 53, and I was once again struck by this word, this verse, in Isaiah 53 verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. His death was voluntary. It's doubtful that any Old Testament sacrifice volunteered for the job. But here is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. An animal's blood was carried by the high priest into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus Christ presents himself. He presented himself in the presence of God as the final and complete sacrifice for sins. And his glorified body bears the marks of those wounds even now in heaven. In the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 6 we read, Revelation chapter 5 verse 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now the animal sacrifices had to be repeated, while the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he offered himself once and for all. Once and for all. No animal sacrifices ever purchased eternal redemption. Their blood only could cover up sin until the time when the blood of Jesus Christ would take away sin. That's why John the Baptizer pointed to Jesus and said, in John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what we have today is eternal redemption in Christ. It is not conditioned on any of our good works or on our merit. It is secured once and for all by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then we see the second contrast. The second contrast is between ceremonial cleansing and cleansing of the conscience. In Hebrews chapter 9 verses 13 to 14 we read, Hebrews 9, 13 to 14, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The old covenant rituals could not change a person's heart. Now, not meaning to say that the Old Testament worshipper did not have a spiritual experience if his heart trusted God. What it does mean is that the emphasis was on the external ceremonial cleansing in the Old Testament tabernacle. The emphasis is on the external ceremonial cleansing. So long as the worshipper obeyed the prescribed regulations, he was declared clean. It was the purifying of the flesh, but not the cleansing of the conscience. Regarding the ashes of an heifer, you would have to read Numbers chapter 19 where you have the details. Now we learn from Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1 to 13 that the ministry of the new covenant is internal. Not external. It is internal. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. How does this happen? This work is done by the Holy Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 to 3 we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. But the Holy Spirit could not dwell within us if Jesus Christ had not paid for our sins. Cleansing our consciences cannot be done by some external ceremony. It demands an internal power. It doesn't happen by any ceremony. It happens by the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is without spot, without blemish, he was able to offer the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, now we who turn to him in repentance and faith can receive the Holy Spirit. And our conscience is cleansed and the Holy Spirit empowers us from within to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we come to the contrast between the temporary blessings and eternal blessings. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Now the blessings under the old covenant depended on obedience, the obedience of God's people. If they obeyed God, God blessed them. But if they disobeyed God, he withheld his blessings. Not only were the blessings temporary, but they were primarily temporal blessings. For example, rain. If they obeyed God, they would get God will give them rain. There will be bumper crops. There will be protection from enemies and sickness, etc. Israel's Canaan inheritance involved material blessings. But our eternal inheritance is primarily spiritual in nature. I'm not saying that God will not bless us otherwise. But our eternal inheritance is primarily spiritual in nature. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Note that the emphasis is on eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. The emphasis is also on eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So a believer can have confidence because all that he has in Christ is eternal. It's not temporal. In fact, the very message of the gospel speaks about eternal life, not temporal life. John 3:16, remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, not temporal life. So we can have such a confidence in the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all that he gives us, our salvation, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15 makes it clear that there was no final and complete redemption in the old covenant. Under the old covenant, there was no final complete redemption. Those transgressions were covered by the blood of many sacrifices, but not cleansed until the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. They were just covered, not cleansed. In Romans chapter 3 verses 24 to 26, we read, Romans 3, 24 to 26, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So since Christ has accomplished an eternal redemption for us, we are able to share in an eternal inheritance. So as we review these contrasts, we can easily see that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly tabernacle is effective to deal with our sins. His finished work on earth, on the cross, and his unfinished work of intercession still going on in heaven, that is sufficient and that is efficient for our sins. Number 3, the ministry of Christ in the heavenly tabernacle is based on a costly sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 16 to 23. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. The word covenant not only means an agreement, but it also carries the idea of a last will and testament. Let's say a man writes a will. If a man writes his will, that will is not in force until that man dies. It was necessary for Jesus Christ to die so that the terms of the new covenant, the will, might be enforced. That's why he says, we read in Luke chapter 22 verse 20, "This cup is the new testament, covenant, will, in my blood, which is shed for you." This cup is the new testament, covenant, will, in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22 verse 20. Even the old covenant was established on the basis of blood. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 19 to 21 is taken from Exodus chapter 24 verses 3 to 8. So you'll have to go back and read Exodus 24 verses 3 to 8. This is the account of the ratifying of the old covenant by Moses and the people of Israel. The book of the law was sprinkled with blood. The people and the tabernacle and its furnishings are also sprinkled with blood. It must have been a very solemn occasion. Not only was blood used at the beginning of the ministry of the old covenant, but it was used in the regular administration at the tabernacle service. Under the old covenant, the people and objects were purified by blood, water, or fire. Numbers chapter 31 verses 21 to 24. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men in the army who had gone to battle, "This is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Everything that can stand the fire, you shall pass through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall also be purified with the water for impurity. And whatever cannot stand the fire, you should pass through the water. You must wash your clothes on the seventh day, and you shall be clean. And afterward, you may come into the camp." This was, of course, ceremonial purification. It meant that the persons and the objects were now acceptable to God. Now, the purification did not alter the nature of the person or the object. God's principle is that blood must be shed before sin can be forgiven. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." So since God has ordained that remission of sins is through the shedding of blood, and since purification comes through the sprinkling of blood, It is necessary that blood be shed and applied if the new covenant is to be enforced. The patterns or copies, which was the old covenant tabernacle, was purified by the sprinkling of the blood. But the originals were also purified. The blood of Jesus Christ not only purifies the conscience of the believer, Hebrews chapter 9, 14 says that, but the blood of Jesus also purified the heavenly things. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Then you read in Hebrews 9, verse 23. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. How could the heavenly sanctuary ever become defiled? We can understand how the earthly sanctuary could be defiled since it was used by sinful men. Although only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year. Each year on the great day of atonement, the tabernacle was purified through the sprinkling of blood. We read of this in Leviticus chapter 16 verses 12 to 19. But how could the heavenly sanctuary ever become defiled? Certainly nothing in heaven is defiled in a literal sense. Sin cannot pollute the sanctuary of God. For that matter, nothing in the earthly tabernacle was literally defiled by sin. We need to understand that all this had to do with people's relationships to God. All this had to do with people's relationships to God. The blood that was sprinkled on furniture, in the tabernacle, that did not change the nature of that piece of furniture, but it changed God's relationship to it. God could enter into communion with people because of the sprinkled blood. Through Jesus Christ, we who are sinners can enter into the Holy of Holies in the heavenly sanctuary. Why? Because of the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. So through Jesus, we who are sinners separated from God can now enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood which he shed for us on the cross. Today we can behold the glory of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 21. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Remember, he is the Lamb of God who shed his blood for us on the cross. Physically, of course, we are on earth, but spiritually, we are communing with God in the heavenly holy of holies. In order for God to receive us into this heavenly fellowship, the blood of Jesus Christ had to be applied. And we receive the efficacy of that blood shed on the cross for us by faith in what Christ has done for us. We enter into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now we can summarize the writer's discussion. The old covenant was established by blood, and so was the new covenant. But the new covenant was established on the base of a better sacrifice applied in a better place. And the blood was the blood of Jesus. The patterns, types, and copies were purified by the blood of animals, but the original sanctuary was purified by the blood of the Son of God. And this was a far more costly sacrifice. Remember who he is. He is the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Lord of the universe, the Sovereign of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega. He leaves glory, becomes man, takes upon himself human flesh, and submits himself to that violent death on the cross, so that you and I could be eternally forgiven, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and enjoy the very presence of God, beholding the glory of God through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Number four, the ministry of Jesus Christ in the heavenly tabernacle represents fulfillment. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. The new covenant Christian has reality. We are not depending on a high priest on earth who annually visits the Holy of Holies in a temporary sanctuary. No. We depend on the heavenly high priest who has entered once for all into the eternal sanctuary. There he represents us before God, and he is always there to represent us before God. So beware of trusting anything for your spiritual life that is made with hands. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. I repeat again. Beware of trusting anything for your spiritual life that is made with hands. Because it will not last. One good thing about all this that has happened in the last year, the COVID-19, one of the good things that has happened for us, the church, is that we are not dependent on, you know, the Shama Tabernacle building. I believe now we have learned that we can worship wherever we are, and we can worship the Lord on the Lord's Day wherever God places us, in spirit and in truth. We are not confined to a building or a space. We are slowly getting to understand. Otherwise, somehow in your subconscious mind you begin to think, oh, you can worship God only in that place. There's no such thing. Neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. There is coming a day, and it already is, when those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth. So beware of trusting anything for your spiritual life that is made with hands. It will not last. The tabernacle was replaced by Solomon's temple, and that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. When the Jews returned to their land after captivity, they rebuilt their temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. And King Herod, in the later years, he expanded that temple and he beautified it. But what happened? AD 70, the Romans destroyed that temple and it has never been rebuilt. So these things are all made with hands. They are perishable. But the things not made with hands, they are eternal. Our salvation is an eternal salvation. Our inheritance is an eternal inheritance. Our home in heaven is an eternal home. Number five, the ministry of Christ in the heavenly tabernacle is final and it is complete. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 25 to 28. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. There can be nothing incomplete or temporary about the ministry of our Lord Jesus in heaven. The writer pointed out again the obvious contrast between the old covenant ministry and the new covenant ministry. The old covenant, the sacrifices had to be repeated. They were repeated sacrifices. You have the table there in the slide. The contrast between the old covenant ministry and the new covenant ministry. The old covenant ministry, the sacrifices had to be repeated again and again. In the new covenant ministry, one sacrifice. Old covenant, the blood of animals. In the new covenant, Christ's own blood. In the old covenant ministry, sacrifices covered sins, could not take away sins. But in the new covenant ministry, the blood of Jesus Christ puts away sin, takes away sin. The old covenant was for Israel only, but the new covenant is for the whole world, for all sinners. Anyone who repents and receives Christ receives the blessings of the new covenant. The old covenant, the high priest left the Holy of Holies. In fact, he could enter only once, and that too he will be there only for a short period of time. He will present the blood and offer the incense, and he will come out. If he doesn't come out, everybody is scared whether he'll be dead there or not. So there was a rope attached to his leg, so that, and the bells in his on his robe. So if the bells stopped ringing, that means he's dead. So they'll have to pull him out with a rope. Nobody can enter the Holy of Holies except the high priest. So the high priest entered and left once a year. But Christ entered heaven and remains there. So the new covenant ministry, Christ is in heaven. He has entered heaven and he remains there, and he'll eternally be there for us. In the old covenant, the high priest came out to bless the people. But new covenant, Jesus will come. He'll come to take us, his people, to heaven. In short, the work of Jesus Christ is a complete, finished work. It is final, it is eternal. On the basis of his completed work, he is ministering now in heaven on our behalf. Notice carefully, that word appear is used three times in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 24 to 28. And these three uses give us a summary of the work of our Savior Jesus. He has appeared to put away sin by dying on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 26. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has appeared to put away sin. He is appearing now in heaven for us. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And one day he shall appear to take us believers home. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And these three tenses of salvation, you know, justification, sanctification, glorification, these three tenses of salvation are all based on his finished work. He has justified us. That means he has saved us from the penalty of sin. We are declared righteous before God. Just as if we have never sinned in God's sight. That is justification. He is sanctifying us, saving us from the power and the grip of sin. So we are a work in progress until we die. He is saving us from the grip of sin, from the power of sin. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of his Son. The Father has put us into the kingdom of his Son, and he is working in us and breaking. He has broken the power of sin over our lives. He set us free, and he is sanctifying us, setting us apart unto himself. One day he will glorify us, which means in that glorified body, there will be no presence of the nature of sin. So he will save us from the very presence of sin. He has saved us from the penalty of sin. That is justification. He is saving us from the power of sin. That is sanctification. One day he will save us from the very presence of sin, and that is glorification. He will glorify us. He will save us from the very presence of sin when we receive our glorified bodies. Now, after reading this chapter, the Hebrew Christians who received this letter, they had to realize there is no middle ground. They had to make a choice between the earthly or the heavenly. Between the temporary tabernacle, the temple that they could see, or the eternal sanctuary. They had to make a decision, a choice between the incomplete or the complete sacrifice, once and for all, made for them on the cross. So the question actually was, why not return to the temple but also practice the Christian faith? Why not the best of both the worlds? That would be compromise. And that would be compromising and refusing to go outside the camp bearing his reproach. The Christian life is costly. You see, salvation is a free gift. But being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is costly. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So there is no middle way. There is a cost involved in following Jesus. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The believer's sanctuary is in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. Our Savior is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our treasures also should be in heaven. So hang loose. Don't put your faith in anything that you see. Our treasures should also be in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Our hope is in heaven. So the true believer walks by faith, not by sight. No matter what may happen on earth, we know that the sovereign Lord who shed his blood for us on the cross, our great high priest is there for us in heaven, and we can be confident because everything has been settled by him and he is coming for us one day to take us to be with him. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Amen.